Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. It's Jessie May. We need content. We need motherfucking content. We're here, quarantine week two. I'm going motherfucking crazy. I don't know about you, but I am. I've hiked 3,700 miles already. I'm literally putting snacks in a backpack and going hiking and just waiting until my shins give out. How are you guys surviving during this quarantine era, the unknown, uncharted territory, uncharted waters we are going into together? Hopefully you're feeling somewhat motivated. Hey, one of my friends, I asked to do a show with me. She's like, nah, I'm going to listen to the universe, and the universe is telling me to slow down. And that made me want to just sit down and do nothing. But I'm the type of person that if I sit down and do nothing, I'll go crazy. So I hope you guys are finding your content and your podcast. Share mine, if you wouldn't mind, to a friend who maybe hasn't listened to it. If you love it, rate and review it, if you haven't already done that, on Apple iTunes. That sounds redundant. I hope you're able to pay your rent, and if not, fuck them. Fuck them, because we're all going down together. I think that's the whole point of the coronavirus. None of us are safe. There are amoebas everywhere. Ah, there's amoebas on the countertops. They're in your butthole. Watch out for the butthole, the mutating butthole amoebas. The coronas virus is coming for you. It is apocalyptic out there. Nothing's open. The only thing that's open is our hearts, hopefully. Aww. I'm drinking a golden milk latte. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. It's day wine, bitch, because I'm in a motherfucking quarantine. And I don't know what's on the other side of this. It feels like that part of the Alien movie where all the hippies are riding out to the desert in their RVs with their Take Me Now signs and their bullshit old school tube TV antennas trying to make connection. It is apocalyptic out there. Save yourselves. Help each other. I don't know what to do. Hopefully you're surviving and thriving and you're feeling good. And read. Do some reading. Paint something. Now's the time to do the shit you've always been putting off. Now's the time to break out that guitar your wife says is annoying. Now's the time to bust out the drums. Fuck it, Mom. I'm going to make some noise. I'm going to make some noise because the apocalypse is louder than anything right now. It's on our heels. Let's learn a new skill. Now's the time to learn a new motherfucking skill. Now's the time to do something you love to do because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. It's like a Boys to Men song, okay? Although we go to the tomorrow. I think it was like a country song. I think Boys to Men just took all country songs and made them R&B. God bless, because it got me through a lot of really bad finger blasting years. I honestly hope you guys are doing okay. Please, please help each other out. I've been smiling to every motherfucker. People must think I'm weird. I've been talking to more people. I've literally been yelling across the street hi to people who are then scared off of their Schwinn's because some woman with three dogs is screaming at them. People are starting to say hi to one another a little bit more. I think there's going to be a lot of silver linings through this weird time. I think that we're going to start to realize that this is a global community. This is a global issue, and that we are a part of a larger existence other than our own little individual bubbles that we are running around in. We're not considering our waste that we're putting out. We're not considering how we're not taking care of ourselves and being considerate of other people and spreading our amoebas to other people. There's got to be silver linings. And on the other hand, there's going to be a baby boom. There's going to be divorces. There's going to be all this other shit that happens. But hopefully through it all, we learn that we're not the most important thing. Oh my God, I am so important. No, you're not, Natasha. Okay, Instagram likes don't matter. Clean hands do now, bitch. It's a new world. We're learning that you can't just pick your nose and open up the door to the bank anymore, you fucking slob. God damn it. Sometimes wine is just the only answer. Look, it's a new dawn. It's a new day. I have been motivated to to evolve and put out some more things for you guys. I actually reopened my Patreon page, which will be available. Jessie Mae Peluso on Patreon. You can go and be a part of my community, get exclusive content, be in the front lines to get early releases of podcast episodes, to get some videos, Q&As, merchandise, tickets to see me live once the comedy clubs open back up. I'm going to start a virtual comedy club, which we're making right now, so you guys can still see me perform while you're stuck at home. Check out patreon.com. Jessie Mae Peluso is my page name. There's a it's by donation, so whatever you guys want to donate, whatever you can afford to be a part of the community, you're donating to me being able to put out content and continue my dream and bring you guys some laughter, joy, and inspiration. And also, like I said, share the podcast. Share it to people who might be home and bored, and they might like my sentimentality, you know, my crazy, wild, raw, sometimes highly inappropriate opinions. And also, last but not least, the last thing I'm going to hopelessly, shamelessly hawk to you guys. If you want a personalized video from me, I'm choking on my wine. If you want a personalized video from me, you can hire me on Cameo. And I will make a personalized video for anyone, your family member, your coworker who is making you work without paid sick leave, your sister who keeps, I don't know, using your t-shirt that you love and there's weird stiff stains on it. Whatever you need, if you don't want to communicate to someone in your life, let me do it. Go to Cameo. You can hire me. I'll make a personalized video for anybody in your life. I'll break up with your girlfriend. I'll tell your boss to fuck off. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. Let's live a little bit more bolder. Hire me, Jessie Mae Peluso. I'm available. I'm trying to create new ways for us to connect, new ways for me to survive and still be able to do what I love. Patreon, Cameo, Jessie Mae Peluso. Look it up. And this is a new type of podcast episode. It is Psychedelic Sundays here on the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I interviewed one of my nearest and dearest friends, somebody who I go to for all psychedelic information. I call her the psychedelic doctor to the celebrities, to the stars, even though she's not a certified doctor. She has years of experience. And as we know, sometimes doctors just stop learning and they tell you that marijuana doesn't heal and you're like, bye, see you later. See you later, Dr. Douchebag. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, this woman is just so amazing. She created Meatdelic, which you guys can check out on Instagram, which is a great location for you to get all psychedelic information. They're also going to be having a conference about psychedelics with some really great people on the DS. She's got Duncan Trussell and a bunch of doctors that are first and foremost in their field studying psychedelics to help people as a therapeutic option. She also has realitysandwich.com, which is another place you can go to for information. They're also hiring. If they choose to publish your piece, you could get paid and have your piece published on realitysandwich.com. All that information's in this episode with one of my nearest, dearest friends. I love to get high with her. She makes me really delicious vegan meals. We like to watch sunsets together and pontificate about our existence and what it all means. And after this episode, I decided I am going to do shrooms with her and record the experience afterwards. So this is the precursor to that with my dear friend, the marijuana mushroom doctor to the world, Miss Jackie Stang. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's gonna get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. And we're here. Sharp Tongue Podcast in your ear. My girl, your girl, Jackie Stang.
What up, homies?
Psychedelic doctor to the stars.
Oh, God. Newsflash.
Newsflash.
She's not a doctor.
I just gave you an alkaloid. I'm a doctor on Mondays on Instagram. Rogan said I am, so now everyone believes it.
Well, he would know.
He would know.
He's God.
I think of all people to get like a cosign on when Rogan says something, it's a fact.
I mean, yeah.
You've loved him. You've loved him. You've been a fan.
Shout out to Joe Rogan.
Shout out to Joe Rogan.
I'm a fucking Joe Rogan scholar.
You are, and you're also you enjoy podcasts.
I love podcasts. Have saved my life.
There was a fuzz on your microphone.
Thanks for that.
They really have?
Not to be super dramatic about it, but they saved my spirit, certainly. Like 7 years ago, I was living in London.
You lived in London?
Oh, foggy London.
Oh, for Christ. You must be mad having tits.
Oh, mad having... darling.
Mile.
I'm a lady. I do ladies things.
Oh, you a lady? How long did you live in London for?
Just like a year and a half, man. And they are serious. If you are not English, you can barely work there. They're like, fuck no.
Really?
Hell no. It's really hard. So
racist.
Super racist.
It's like white on white racism.
Yeah, it sucks. So I didn't need to work, so I didn't work. And so I was like, fuck, I gotta do something. So I listened to podcasts.
A bunch.
Do you remember the first one you listened to?
Oh, well, the first one I ever listened to was Corolla, but that was back in Texas when you had to, like, burn shit to a CD still and put it in your car and listen to it.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's a lot of fucking work to listen to a podcast.
I know, but if you love it, you just put in the work, Jesse.
What was Adam, what was his podcast like then?
Ah, so Corolla.
Godfather of podcasting.
I did his podcast once.
As the story goes, children, buckle up. He was fired from terrestrial radio here in Los Angeles. And terrestrial radio had gotten, and probably still is, like, not long form, super short snippets, really rigid about what you can say, how you can say it. And then there's a fucking ad every 2 seconds,
right? It's so corporate.
And he got fired and was like, fuck that. And then being the entrepreneur he was, went and started the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah.
And now it's ballooned into a full-on company and shit. But back then it was long form, like 3 hours at a time.
Jesus.
I don't recall. There were no commercials, right? Because he was just doing it. It's a little different now.
It is different now. There's commercials.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like terrestrial radio again.
Everything's cyclical. Everything like goes back to the way it was before.
Yeah, I miss those days.
But you also like, how did you find? I'm gonna just get right in because we were on doing Weeds Day before, and people had so many questions about
the best drugs to do when you want to have sex.
How I like this light is going right into my mouth. How did you find psychedelics?
Psychedelics found me. No, honestly, I think I was 14 or 15 the first time I took a psychedelic, which was LSD, and that was after the first time I smoked weed. I didn't particularly love smoking weed. I still don't love it, but...
Why not?
It's just not... It's like, it's not my flavor, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, once a week... Maybe a little more these days because we're all cool. Because
the world is ending.
We're all quarantined.
We're fucking quarantined.
And, you know, I use it sparingly because when I do use it, it is amazing. And I go on a trip with cannabis on like a Saturday and I ride around with my husband all day. And it's fucking beautiful. But the first LSD experience was amazing. I remember laughing. Remember the first time you smoked weed?
And oh, yeah.
You just laugh.
It's like ditch high school weed and you're just laughing your ass off and then you go to McDonald's.
It was like that, except I didn't go to McDonald's.
Oh.
I went home and my sheets were like suffocating me.
Oh, God. That sounds terrible.
I remember that vividly. I had like those fake satin sheets. Remember of like the 90s?
And your leg hair gets stuck in them? You ever have that issue?
No, I used to shave my I shave my legs, Jesse.
I let the shin hair grow because it's cold down there. It keeps me warm. It keeps me warm.
I mean, that's what it's there for.
Yeah, it's definitely like providing a little bit of insulation on my shins. But did you have like a panic attack on the?
No.
Like you felt like your sheets were.
Yeah, so that's an effect in my experience of this thing called Lucy, some might call LSD, allegedly, that if you're inside, not moving, basically staring at a wall. it's an entirely different experience than if you're moving your body or you're outside where the world is moving around you. And so it's like pretty common that you have one experience outside when you're moving around and you come in and you're like, whoa.
It evolves to a different level.
Mm-hmm. It depends on how long it's been since you consumed it, but that's been my experience.
And then when the first time you had, when you did LSD, were you like, oh, we vibe?
Oh, yeah. We've been friends for a long time. One of my longest friends.
One of your most successful relationships.
It's true. And having said that, though, I don't want to sound naive or flippant about it, because LSD is extremely potent, obviously. I mean, that's like the joke kind of about it is when Albert Hofmann accidentally found it back in, I think it was 38, and then he realized that he found it. He identified it in like 40-something.
How did he accidentally find it?
He was looking...
Who is he?
Albert Hofmann. Mm-hmm. He was a scientist, a chemist, back in the late 30s, 40s, looking for drugs to help people with... ailments. In this case, they were looking for drugs to improve blood circulation.
Okay.
He and a bunch of other chemists, right? And he was synthesizing ergot, or a molecule from ergot, which is a fungus found on rye bread, or used to be found on rye bread. And
can you trip from rye bread?
I don't know, man.
I'm about to go out to the store. Do they have any left?
There's rumors that the Salem witches,
They were just high.
Super fucked.
They were super fucked up. That's what I heard.
Like, it makes sense to me, because back then they didn't understand things in the way we understand them now. So if you're tripping on LSD and you didn't mean to,
you could appear to be a witch.
Totes, man. And they burn those bitches.
Oh, man. They were just having a fucking trip.
It sucks.
So this dude Albert's in the bush and he's finding LSD.
He's in a lab.
Oh, he's in a lab. Okay. He's in a 1930s lab, which sounds... very unsanitary. Just from the time frame alone.
I can't speak to that.
Yeah. I wonder what they were doing for sanitizing. I mean, you sprayed me in the face with hand sanitizer 6 times since I've been here. Confirm or deny?
Confirm. I can confirm.
It's right here. It's called Lipitor. You sprayed me in the face with Lipitor.
I'm sorry.
Antimicrobial hand sanitizer.
You deserved it.
I did deserve it. We're underneath the 6 feet allotted space, personal space for social distancing. But there we go. We got like an extra foot from that. So this dude found LSD on accident.
Yep. He synthesized it 1 year and then came back to it. They decided, oh, nothing's come of this research. And then he came back to it a couple years later and he decided to consume it to test it, as you would.
Absolutely. I would be testing things, that shit all the time.
Right.
Quality control.
He got the dosage wrong. Now, I'm not going to remember the exact dosage. I can get back to you on that. You could put it in your show notes.
I would love it in my show notes. I'll look. I can look it up.
For those super nerds. But basically, he took like 20 times ish what like a normal dose was. And getting back full circle to the point that LSD is wildly potent. Okay.
Can people die from overdosing?
Nobody, to our knowledge, has ever died from consuming LSD.
Right. Could they die from, like, the reactionary effects that overdosing might have? Like you said, you know how these Salem witches, people thought they were witches, but they were really just overdosing on drugs. Could maybe, you know, movements and things you're thinking in your brain put you in a precarious, dangerous
situation? Could
somebody
kill themselves?
Yes.
Yes, and I believe there are stories of people doing that. I don't know of any, actually.
So it's not a hugely common thing to happen.
No, it's an extremely safe substance, like on face value. The substance itself, biologically, isn't going to kill you that
right.
We know of if it's pure. But it can send people into schizophrenic-like states.
Right.
So if you have schizophrenia in your family, you shouldn't take any psychedelic.
Can it do that without a pre-consisting...
Pre-existing?
Pre-existing, thank you.
Or consisting, that works too.
Yeah, can they do it without a pre-existing disposition to having schizophrenia? Or can it just send you into a schizophrenia state without you even having those sort of already
well
in your family?
That's a good question,
I just
Jesse.
Wonder, because I know from what I've read and experienced that, like, you can... Maybe it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. Maybe it goes both ways.
So there's this guy named Joseph Campbell.
Love him. Power of myth. Man with 1,000 faces.
A hero's journey.
A hero's journey. Listen, and during this time of quarantine, really great audiobooks to get.
Oh,
him
shit.
And Bill Moore's.
We should have put that. I posted on RealitySandwich.com. We posted like the top trippy movies to watch during this quarantine. That's not necessarily a movie. I think it's like a mini series.
It's a mini series.
Oh, definitely, guys. Smoke some weed. Have a glass of wine. Whatever you fancy.
It's a beautifully produced
Netflix,
series.
Netflix, right?
Netflix. It educates you. It makes you empathetic. Don't you think? Like, it sort of touches bases on all those important.
Well, so Joseph is this very special. I think he was a cultural anthropologist.
Yep, and a philosopher.
He was super equipped to talk about mythology and the human behavior around mythology, right?
Yes. So, and the mythology, the underlying mythology within all religions.
Mm-hmm. And he has a very interesting take on LSD in that the way he describes it as, yes, going on an LSD trip is putting a person into a schizophrenic state. So there's social schizophrenia that mm-hmm. you and I might have because we aren't actually schizophrenic. And then there's schizophrenic.
Right, like the actual and classified.
And they're pretty close. They're like, you know, they're related.
They're sisters.
They're right here on the same line, man.
They're sisters. They're at the same table on Thanksgiving.
So you're going to the table, man.
You're going to the table. You just might not be walking away with a plate.
Yeah.
You might bring a plate if you already have it pre-existing. Wait, you might not take a plate.
You might just never leave the table.
You might just be in a consistent LSD trip your whole life. That sounds like there's so many things I want to ask you about, but that just made me think about what is that thing that people smoke?
Salvia?
Salvia.
Yeah.
What the fuck is salvia? Have you ever smoked that shit?
Nah, man. I ain't crazy.
That looks insane.
Salvia on its own, from what I understand. Matt Stang, are you listening?
Matt Stang.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Matt Stang's the real...
Matt Stang's
he's the real dude.
It's a leaf that has a psychoactive...
Salvia divinorum.
Divinorum.
On its own is actually not bad. It's when things are bastardized or... Right.
Oh, yeah. They're making it hyper-concentrated.
Just like with hash.
Right.
Like with fucking hash.
And people are just like, dude, we're going to salvia the fuck out of the party.
Yeah, bro.
And I've heard stories from Ryan Singer, who told me that people have smoked it and have been on a 7-year trip. But they were out for 2 minutes.
That's a long vacation.
It's a long.
Can I get some vacation insurance?
Yo, do I get paid leave for that shit?
Jesus Christ.
But they're only out in reality for like 2 or 3 minutes. But in their mental state, in the salvia time, it feels like years.
That might have been DMT. That sounds a lot like DMT.
God.
I mean, that's like, think about it, it can be useful. It's like you're time traveling. So if you're time traveling 7 years in advance or sideways or backwards, like you can like learn a lot.
Yeah, you
can
acquire information. That's true. You could learn a language. You could become fluent in fucking Swahili. You could maybe, if you time travel the right direction, you can excavate a dead language. Learn some Sanskrit.
Mayan.
Hello. Get some Incan tattooed on your forearm.
Hiya. Oh, God. I wish someone would do that. I like the way that Native Americans sing in ceremony.
It's so beautiful.
Can we get more of that?
I think that'd be a really cool thing to listen to maybe while you're stoned as well. Like just a little classic Native American.
Or just Native and Indigenous.
Any Indigenous singing without, you know, a synchronized, what do they call that? Like a track, a music track on it. Just like language, sounds.
Sounds. Sounds.
I smoked a little marijuana before we started.
Sounds.
Sounds.
Do you like the sounds?
Do you like sounds? What did you experience when you have had a super dose of LSD?
Oy vey.
Like,
I haven't had a heroic dose of LSD because I'm super cautious. I like to ride the line. I like to stay safe. I've never been driven to just say like fuck it to the world and like peace out.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like,
why do you think that is? Why do you think you've never been driven to?
Well, because I'm also driven to succeed in the world that we live in. And that
you like reality.
I like reality. And I'm not trying to escape from Jackie. I like Jackie. I'm right. just trying to get back to little Jackie. Right? Mm,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, man. Like
you feel like it reconnects you with your essence and your childlike
it can.
Wonderment and awe.
It can. And I think if everyone, like if you think about little Jesse or whoever's listening, think about your young, like the last time you felt okay, like without the pressures of adulthood, and you're just like daydreaming and on like a field trip, and you're just like reading a book in the corner of library on library day or some shit, you know, like those moments. We're just trying to get back there.
I'm still trying to think of one.
Oh, you have a rough childhood.
I'm still trying to think. I'm like, I had a balanced childhood. I had a humbling childhood, but I had love, and that's what kept me off the stripper pole and off of dick for, you know, for sport.
You know, I got mad love for strippers, dude.
I do too. I think it's a recession proof gig for the most part.
You think?
Well, maybe right not now? 'Cause that Hustler movie. Remember, you ever see the Hustlers with J-Lo?
No, I can't. I can't do it.
Oh, it's a plane movie.
Okay.
It's a good plane movie. I watched that and Lion King.
J-Lo looks fucking good.
She, honestly, we're going to find out she's an alien.
She's been some stem cells in her face.
Oh, she definitely put stem cells in her face.
Dude.
Probably from her own kids.
I don't know about that.
She is so, so gorgeous.
That might be illegal.
It might be illegal, but you know what? Sometimes you get rich and you get out of touch and you don't think about legalities.
I'm all out of touch.
I'm all about you.
I can't even put
my fucking put near you.
The stem cells in my face. No, man, I think that strippers, I think, like, who knows? I could have been a stripper.
I
don't have the body for a stripper.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I'm soft.
No, you have an amazing body.
I'm a cancer crab. I'm soft and gooey. It's nice.
No, you are beautiful, and I don't know why you say you don't have a body for a stripper. That's bullshit.
Well, I mean, it's like typically they're like, you know, it's naturally thin people like yourself.
I don't know.
Abs.
I think there's some girls in Atlanta that might.
ATL. You watch Cardi B when she goes to the clubs?
Oh, my God.
I get a little turned on. I'm not going to lie.
The way she moves and the way she commands the stage.
But no, it's like the gals that she goes and they're just like their booties. They are moving their booties like
their booties are magical.
Like, you know, those balloon wing things outside like a phone store.
Yeah. Or like a used car lot.
That's what their butts do.
Their butts, like, they dislocate from their bodies. Their mm-hmm. butt. I feel like their butt is its own body. It's really admirable. I think strippers, people like to talk shit about strippers. I talk about it in my set. I think every girl should try it.
Oh, yeah.
Just at least get near a strip club. Like, I worked at one for, like, 2 days, but not as a stripper, as a waitress.
Oh, shit, yeah?
Yeah, and the manager was trying to get me to get on the pole, and I was too scared.
That happened to me, too. So I was in Los Angeles.
See?
So many years ago, I was in Los Angeles, straight off the bus.
Who is this? Who's this person?
Straight off the
bus. Who do we have? Who did we phone?
Straight off the bus. And the parents were like, man, you got to get a job. Actress, want to be actress. And I was like, okay. So I found this ad and I went to the place in downtown Los Angeles. Now, downtown LA is coming back.
It's still a little sketch.
But it was pretty sketch back then.
I mean, there's the percentage of sketch was much higher back then.
This was maybe like 9, 10. This is 10 years ago.
Yeah. So the sketch level versus
12.
Gentrified level was much different.
Yeah. And I walk in and it was like dark and there's a lot of, I just remember pink. It was dark. It was
like pink lights.
Yeah. Pink lights. I walk in. There was a waitress job. It was a bunch of dudes. It was like a dark hallway. And I was like, I don't know.
It sounds like my same experience.
I'm here for the waitress job. And he was like, oh, no, waitress job. And I'm like, oh, okay, bye. And I turn around, I start running. He's like, no, come. And I was like, almost was a stripper.
Did you work? Did they give you like an outfit?
I was there for 5 seconds.
Oh, my God. They got me through the door. They put me in an outfit. There was like a neck. There was like a collar. I think I had a leash on it. I'm pretty sure I was walked around the strip club like a labradoodle. And I was just like, this is fine. I'll be fine. This is totally cool.
You gotta pay your dues,
everything's man. Normal to be, you know, walking around in a strip club with a fucking harness on. What? Where did you go from? Because I'm always going to go back to drugs.
Yeah, how do we start talking about strippers? That was my
bad. I think when you talk about drugs, it's a natural deviation to go to strippers. Mm-hmm. Where did you go? Did you go anywhere from LSD? Or did you stick with it for a while?
So I grew up in the late 90s candy rave scene.
Oh, shit.
And y'all remember Jankos? Shout out to Jankos.
What's Jankos? Oh,
man. You know what Jankos. Remember Hot Topic?
Oh.
Okay, so Hot Topic sold Jankos, which were like ridiculously large wide leg pants.
Oh, yes. I know exactly.
Like no rhyme or reason. Yes. They don't need to be that wide.
Right. It was a statement.
But they were wide. And they'd have like cool little accoutrement and additions. And you do your hair fun and you wear like candy around your neck and you go
Slipknot
dance.
Slipknot t-shirts.
No, well, yeah, I guess that could be cool too. But for me, it was more like positive. It was like rainbow bright.
Yeah.
You know, and people would come dressed to the nines and like great, like Mardi Gras type shit.
And you'd listen and it would be like a legit rave.
It'd be for the music. You'd go and like that was if you felt odd or weird, you'd go and you'd like fit in for a second, right? In this warehouse full of weirdos.
It was always in a warehouse, huge ceilings.
Always in a warehouse.
Big
in,
square.
Like, awesome places too, right? Because it was on the DL, right? So it's not really super regulated. I mean, promoters would do it and they probably were paying cops off. And so that's how they were allowed to happen. But this was like what created the giant EDCs that we know now in Coachella, that really happy vibe and people. And so what was offered back then on the streets was arguably a lot safer. I mean, not completely safe, but a lot safer than what you can get now, unfortunately, on the streets. Like, don't take what people give you on the streets.
Because it's all cut with shit, isn't
it? Just don't fucking do it. Yeah, it's not worth it. And it's not really, like, if you want to take a psychedelic, take a psychedelic.
Yeah.
Don't.
Right, because you want to reap the whole benefit of it. You don't want to cut corners when it's coming to your mind in a trip that could help you.
Well, yeah, and fentanyl is a huge fucking problem. And
yeah, it's a legit epidemic.
They ship it in nowadays. It comes from China and also Mexico on the same route that cannabis comes in. And we're in California, and that's like a direct line. The Sinaloa cartel is really big in bringing that shit to America now. And so, but to go back to your question, yeah, so the candy rave scene, they'd be in like hangars on an airport.
Yeah. Like, LAX terminal rave.
Oh, they'd be so much fun. And they'd have the.
You're not going to make your flight.
There's actually a Burning Man now, an actual 747.
That's dope. That's really cool. Can you go in it? Is it like a piece? That's
you have to
cool.
wait in line.
That's awesome.
I don't do lines, so I haven't been in it, but.
I don't do lines either.
No, I don't do lines. Not even at Burning Man.
I don't like lines.
But just to see this fucking almost fully built 747 in the middle of the desert.
That's awesome.
Really takes you back to, and I bet you like a lot of people at Burning Man came from that rave scene too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so you just kind of take what people gave you. And back then it was a lot of ecstasy.
I've never done anything, Jackie.
I know.
Like literally I'm a baby when it comes to that.
You're a special baby.
Amy baby. What is ecstasy like for people out there who may have not done it?
Ecstasy's people don't really take ecstasy anymore.
That is it like, rolling? Is it like when you're like, oh, you want to fuck everybody and it puts tiny holes in your brain?
See, fake news.
The more you know.
Fake news. You know what puts tiny holes in your brain is fucking bath salts and
cocaine.
And whatever they cut the shit with from under the sink and
fentanyl. All that shit rots your brain.
MDMA or an analog of or MDMA or sassafras.
I can't get over that sassafras is a source in something real.
It all comes from something real. I mean, LSD came from fungus matter or to oversimplify it, plant matter.
Right.
Sassafras tree, sassafras bark. Mistletoe has also been known to produce MDMA analogs. And
no wonder parents are smooching underneath them during the holidays.
I mean, Christmas, talk about mythology.
Yeah.
I mean, Christmas is about this big white shaman. Okay.
Okay.
Up north where the snow's up to your fucking, you can't open your door.
Right. It's Nordic.
So the shaman comes in through the chimney with some mushrooms, some dried mushrooms, which is like totally normal. We all know what, we're all okay with mushrooms, right, in the grocery store. It's just another mushroom. Just, you have more fun eating it.
Yeah. It's so much more fun than shiitake. Seriously.
You don't like shiitakes?
I think shiitakes are great, but what you're saying is you don't trip on shiitake.
No, it's so much more fun than shiitake.
So much more fun than shiitake. Fuck you, baby Bellas.
And then you go on a trip when you're stuck inside your fucking Nordic home.
Santa Claus got everybody stoned?
Listen.
What?
You like, what does he look like?
He looks like a stoner.
But his outfit, red and white. He looks like an Amanita muscaria mushroom.
Oh, he does. He looks like that mushroom. The mushroom.
These look like mushrooms.
The sacred mushroom.
Yeah. These microphones look like mushrooms.
Oh, my God. It all goes to the source. The sacred mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
With the little red and white on the top.
I mean, this is a theory. I would argue a strong theory.
Yo, Santa Claus is a mushroom? Bitch, Christmas just got better.
I know.
I never even heard that before.
I know, we forget how quickly we forget, darling.
How quickly we forget our source. No, you mustn't forget your source.
That's why it's important to remind people. And you know, MDMA is one thing because that's synthesized in a lab, so people have like certain reactions to like that. The lab aesthetic.
Yeah. So
right?
Is all MDMA synthesized?
Yeah, like it doesn't come straight from the earth. Yeah, we have to. Humans have added their touch.
How? Look at the video. Sorry, guys. We're like chilling in. We're in her treehouse here. Thing here. How do people? How do they discover MDMA if it's something that was synthesized? Like somebody must have. With some chemistry, knowing that combining certain molecules together, you get that reaction.
From what I understand, that sassafras, it stems from there, right? They made sassafras beer, and people would get a little root beer, and they get a little high off of it. And then it just takes, like, one super nerdy smart guy with the right utensils to
like
go
Albert.
And be like, yeah, like Albert Hoffman, or just like people, whatever, underground chemists, to be like, I wonder how I could manipulate this molecule. I mean, the behavior is actually super noble, I think, because it's just somebody being curious.
Yep.
And we get amazing things from people being curious in labs.
Absolutely.
MDMA being one of them.
Yeah. And how many times have you done MDMA?
A lot. Yeah.
What do you think is the most common thing people can expect from an MDMA trip? And do we call it a trip? Is that correct language?
You can. I mean, I don't have all the answers, and I certainly hate rules, except for the one, which is safety. Safety's cool.
Safety's cool.
It's cool to be safe.
I think it's vital to
You
be
can
safe.
Call it what you want, a trip, a journey, a voyage, whatevs, you know, that's for you to decide. It's your own myth. It's your own story.
Has something happen consistently? Like, can you expect something from it each time for you? What do you expect?
So MDMA or MDA or 2CB or sassafras or similar analogs are empathogens, right? So what is that? Empathy. You think of the word empathy. And what they do really, really, really well is allow people to relax enough into their heart space and shut all the noise and negativity off, and then it allows people typically to become open, right? Open with what they're thinking, and then open with other people. And that can be really useful in treating mental health disorders.
Like depression.
Oh, yeah.
Suicide, suicidal thoughts.
PTSD. MAPS is in stage 3 trials right now to test their theory that MDMA is extremely useful in treating PTSD and depression in a clinical setting.
I mean, that's revolutionary.
Yeah.
Because essentially with these medicines and therapies, the side effects are nil. Is that safe to say? Comparative to, you know, more, traditional pharmaceuticals that we have?
Yeah, compared to pharmaceuticals, absolutely. And it really depends, right? So I say psychedelics, I'm talking like about 5 substances, but there's a ton more. Like they're finding new analogs of things every single day.
What are like the main 5 psychedelics?
Generally speaking, it'd be LSD, ayahuasca, DMT goes with ayahuasca, peyote, San Pedro, mescaline, and MDMA.
Sassafras.
And psilocybin.
I was hoping you were going to say sassafras.
And psilocybin. But MDMA is super useful for empathy.
And with MAPS is probably one of the more common, maybe the most singular source of psychedelic information and research right now.
Research? Yes. No. Okay. Well, MAPS is 30 plus years of fighting the good fight. Rick Doblin is a super renegade. So you look at places like High Times, for example, who has been around 45 years. Okay. So the powers that be and the people behind that movement have been pushing the agenda for 45 years plus. And then, yeah, currently Rick Doblin has spent the last 30 years trying to affect policy at the same time as creating these new research studies to create legislation that allows certain psychedelics to be used medicinally.
Which they have to go through a clinical trial in order for that to happen.
It's insane.
Yep.
But Johns Hopkins University, tons of colleges in London, there's like a ton of universities doing study. Yale.
I was going to say, I read something that Yale was doing some research with that.
Yeah, Israel.
In clinical studies. Is Israel a leader in psychedelics as much as they are have been with marijuana in the past?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fucking over there doing God's work.
They're over there doing surgeries on MDMA.
Yeah. Look.
They're over there doing open heart on psilocybin.
Israel knows what's up.
Yeah.
And, but Germany, listen, any organized nation that has a military is studying psychedelics.
And for you, like, if somebody's out there, like me, let's say for me, I haven't done anything. Mm-hmm. I smoke marijuana. Obviously, you guys know that I enjoy marijuana pretty much every day. But I always say I smoke to get right. I don't smoke to get high. I'm not smoking to get, like, I'm similar to you where I like my feet on the ground. And once in a while, I don't mind if I float a little bit. But for the most part, it's just sort of to calm, you know, I have like my own little monster that I just want to like silence so I can get some emails done.
Yeah.
But for somebody like me and maybe somebody out there who's listening, who's never done a psychedelic, who is interested in it and maybe has some trepidation because they already have pre-existing anxieties or maybe depression or something. Is there a psychedelic that is a good place to start for somebody like me or somebody out there similar?
Yeah, well, and this is not from a diagnosis standpoint because I'm not a physician.
I'm not a learned doctor. You are you're a delic doctor.
Delic. Oh my God.
You need to do delic doctor like how I do Dr. Peluso on Mondays. You should do delic doctor where you do this because all you have to do, and I tell them, I'm not a real doctor. I'm only going to give you advice based off of my experience. And look, honestly, there are doctors out there who are less qualified to tell me what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Because of your experience.
I agree with you. No, the anecdotal evidence from everyday people, civilian experience, is wildly valuable and far outweighs the stuff that you can learn in a fucking organized study or a lab.
In a book.
Right. We just have to destigmatize the conversation so that we can start to collect data from people, everyday people.
Yeah.
Because the amount of people that are consuming recreationally far outweighs the amount of people that are consuming in an organized study. And so that's like valuable data that could be synthesized and then hopefully help people and actually save people.
And put into like an analytical basis. Like you've been doing your own clinical trial whole life.
For like 22 years. Good job,
imagine
expert.
If we could gather all that data and put it into a graph, we'd have a better understanding. So like from what you've gathered and what you've accumulated in your 22 years of psychedelic tripping and traveling and therapeutic self-diagnosis, what would you recommend?
Yeah. It depends on the person.
Say me. For me personally.
Yeah.
What should we do?
You're already magical. No, so two super safe bets. Going back to MDMA. MDMA is used in the recreational world, the organized recreational world is kind of like an entree into psychedelics. There are analogs of it that can make you feel like you're tripping or hallucinating, but it's not typically a hallucinogen drug. Okay. It's like it's a mood enhancer.
Right.
And a really awesome one at that. But So it's kind of like an way to ease your way into the idea that you're in a different mind state, mm-hmm. that you've actually changed your mind state. So like a microdose of MDMA, because if you have serotonin imbalances, it can be, it's something to watch out for.
It can
right?
be a little arduous.
Well, just think about it. If you're dumping serotonin and you already have an imbalance, and then you have to work so hard to build that serotonin up again, you're like kind of kicking yourself a few steps back.
Right.
First and foremost, like get your gut right. Get your
flora and fauna balanced.
Get that shit right. You want to be healthy. There's a reason you have to go on a specific diet before you go sit for an ayahuasca, a traditional ayahuasca ceremony.
You do.
Oh, absolutely. No sugar, no caffeine. Mostly vegetarian.
That makes sense, because anytime I have sugar, caffeine, I feel imbalanced. Mm-hmm. I'm up and down.
Yeah.
And
well, those are drugs,
yeah,
by the way.
They are. I mean, sugar's the worst. Yeah. Sugar should be illegal.
Yeah.
Not psychedelics. Yeah. It's really insane.
But I think for you, Jess, I think psilocybin. Psilocybin's super safe.
Like a microdose.
I mean, I would take a regular, maybe half dose, like a gram and a half.
Yeah.
I say in quotes, a normal dose or a regular dose is typically 3 grams of psilocybin.
Is 3 grams a trip?
Yeah, for most people, unless you're like taking psychedelics all the time and you've just eaten. But yeah, for most people, that's a trip.
Okay. So half of that might be a smart start.
I think so. On an empty stomach, on a day when you have nothing to do.
Just rollerblading schedule.
Just rollerblading schedule. And it's like psilocybin's one of the safest things on the planet, to be honest.
Is it one of your favorites?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But the way it's all about the way you consume too, right? Because like,
that's what I was going to ask you. Like, how would you consume it? Because there's teas, there's gel caps, yeah. there's right just biting it from the cap, but I know the cap is more concentrated than the stem.
I don't know about that.
Okay, is that a fallacy?
Well, it depends on who grew it, what kind of mushroom
it is, right?
Like how they dried it,
what the weather was that season,
what the mycology is.
Yeah, what kind of storm fronts were happening while the shroom was growing? So there's a lot of things to consider.
Mushrooms are very complex. There's a really super dope movie. It's coming out called Fantastic Fungi.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Wait, is it somebody that I met through you? Oh, no, because that gentleman was doing the documentary with Lamar Odom, which was about the ketamine treatment.
Shout out to Zappy.
Yep. Shout out to Zappy.
Fantastic Fungi. I think on March 26th, they're going to be showing that live.
That's dope.
And that gives you that's amazing, because it gives you reverence for the complexity of just all mushrooms. And they're kind of inner network, and it's super beautiful. You should maybe take mushrooms and watch it, but that's, you know, just a suggestion.
I probably should go outside first with my first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And what were we talking about? And so, yeah, mushrooms.
Yeah, the approaching it with a little bit more of a microdose.
So most people, a lot of people are taking like chocolate, right?
Right.
It's like you get the chocolate from your local dude.
Yeah.
And that can be cool, but you're missing a lot of the connection between you and the actual substance itself. And that's cool if that's what you want to do. But my own personal use has always been like, I want to get to know you, right? You're
right.
My friend. I want to actually get to know you. And so like with weed, right? You want to touch it, smell it, feel it, taste it. I have the best experiences with psilocybin with just the pure mushroom.
Mm. Do you take a bite?
I just eat them. You just eat them.
You just pop them right in your mouth, mm-hmm. and you swallow that fucker whole.
Yeah.
It's like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. Eat this.
Yeah. I'm
Drink
going
this.
To eat that.
But they also, you can also just crush them up, right? And pulverate them, which is what they're doing now, putting them into capsules. I mean, that's pretty much the same thing.
Right.
A lot of people are microdosing that way.
And what's the shelf life of something like that, do you think? Do you think mushrooms are the same thing with LSD? Like what we answered on Weeds Day when somebody said they had like acid in their fridge from 5 years ago.
I don't quote me on this, but my sense is that mushrooms hold up in when they're stored properly, their potency a little bit better than something like LSD.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
MDMA has shown to have a shelf life, like an incredible shelf life.
I would imagine something synthetic that they might put, like, you know, whatever they put in cereal into MDMA to keep that shit fresh on the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Fruit Loops, they'll stay fresh for fucking years.
And LSD lasts quite a long time, and it's like liquid form, But if you put that on paper, then you like sit it out in the sun, it's going to like change its constitution. And I also would not, I don't understand why people consume that on paper.
Like the thing where you bite it off, like those little sticky, or like actually the paper they put on your tongue.
Blotter paper. Yeah. Yeah, that blotter paper's got to, unless it's organic, like from seaweed.
Right.
Like you don't want to consume with this amazing substance. So you're going to have this amazing outside of your body experience. Whatever's coming, it's like that's the vehicle that you're going to use.
Something that's chemical or something that's just not good
for
you.
Same with the chocolate.
That's like, a good point. That's a really good point that the vehicle to administer the medicine or whatever should be something that's also an organic, healthy additive to the experience as opposed to something that is not normally good for you that you wouldn't put in your mouth.
I like to think so.
Just put it right on a dick. I didn't really need a dick joke there, but I just think of things that I enjoy putting in my mouth. Just not things. It's not a lot, babe. It's just my man.
You just said like dick. I said dick. I'm going to put a tip of LSD on the dick. Just the tip now.
What? Where? We're going to do some shrooms. Not right now.
Yeah.
But we're going to go.
We're going to take you on a trip.
You've been wanting to do this with me for a while.
Because I just think you're so ripe for it. It's so funny. I have a lot of girlfriends who I love so much, you included, who are just like, you know, I don't know, need's not the right word. But like some people are just kind of magically open and effervescent on their own.
Yeah.
And you're one of those people, but that you're also going to have a lot of fun.
I would benefit from it, I think.
Yeah. Because you've had some trauma recently in your life and... psychedelics can really just give you like a kick in the ass outside your push you outside your psyche so that you can like stare your trauma in the face, and when you stare your trauma in the face and get to know it, then it becomes less of a monster, right? Less of a scary monster, and then you go back about your everyday life and slowly over time being disciplined about facing your traumas and like doing the work to go through your pain gets rid of it. And that's what we all want at the end of the day. Because
I think everybody wants that.
You get rid of it. Over time, you get back to that little Jackie, little Jesse, and you're enjoying your life more.
You're more in the moment. You remember like how to enjoy just being.
In the moment when you're sober. Like for me,
such a good point.
Yeah.
That to enjoy and consume and have these trips allows you to enjoy and consume the moment sober.
It's undeniable. Like you cannot unsee what you see when you take a substance, even just once. Like if somebody's done LSD one time, they can't unsee it. They'd be lying.
Right.
That's why we got to get Trump. Like come on, San Pedro.
Somebody, come on. We really need to, please.
I'd like to see him lie.
Yeah.
About that shit.
Yeah.
No, he'd just be funny. Maybe.
I don't know.
Aside from all the terrible, awful, horrible parts about him, he's really funny to watch.
He is really funny to watch. And maybe he'll get humbled by something. Somebody should slip some LSD into his morning coffee. I think he would be somebody who would benefit wholly from having a trip and looking his demons right in the face.
He might go schizophrenic.
Well, then maybe we wouldn't have to deal with it.
I know.
Look, guys... It's all going to be fucking fine.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. Hopefully, psychedelics will be available for people. Hopefully, do you feel it moving towards a more...
I think some of them. MDMA has a really, really, really amazing shot at, even in 2021, becoming actually legally allowed to be prescribed for psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy.
That would be fucking amazing.
Yeah. Psilocybin looks like it's...
It's kind of on its way.
On a fast track to decrim. I mean, it's already been decriminalized in several cities. If people could stop going to jail for like plant matter.
That'd be fucking wonderful.
That'd be amazing. I don't have as high hopes for something like LSD. But, ayahuasca is legal if you're a part of a church. And in other countries, it's fully legal. 5-MeO is legal in certain parts of the world.
If you're part of a church, I'm going to church. I'm going to church Sunday. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Give me my ayahuasca.
When fucking San Pedro grows out of the ground, man. Mescaline, peyote, like they grow out of the cactus.
We've got to stop the insanity. Remember that bitch from the 90s, Susan Powder, with the short hair? We have to stop the insanity.
Rent is too damn high. That's what I thought of when you said that.
The rent is too damn high. We're in a fucking quarantine. It's cannabis virus quarantine day 3 with my girl Jackie Stang. This is going to be a to be continued episode because we are going to go and enjoy a microdose together, and we'll come back with a recap as to what happened in both of our independent and our together experiences.
Remember Jessie the way she is now.
I'm going to be forever changed.
So she's going down the rabbit hole.
Forever now, forevermore. No more a whore.
How for now, ow,
thou. Four score, no more whore. Where can my people find you? You have a lot of exciting endeavors. Oh. You've always been an amazing creator and producer and ideator. You've got Meat Delic.
Yeah, man, Meat Delic, the first ever psychedelic wellness summit.
You are on the forefront of the psychedelic push. I'm so excited for
I'm sprinting.
You are sprinting.
I like to win.
Yes. You had summit. You had a event posted for May, but you had to postpone it.
Yeah, we shout out to my team for postponing that. I mean, but there are a lot of all live events basically are having to be postponed or canceled. So I'm super grateful that we were able to postpone it with the same lineup.
You had an amazing, your lineup is amazing.
Oh man, we got
Duncan Trussell.
We got Dave Asprey, Duncan Trussell,
Duncan
the man
motherfucking
himself.
Trussell.
We got Dr. Chris Ryan, JP Sears, Jason Silva. I mean, it's right out of like the Joe Rogan's playbook. Like, I told you I was a scholar. With tons of other people too. At Wisdom LA, meetdelic.com. It's going to be super fun. You're going to learn a lot about psychedelics, but you're also going to have fun. Yes. Learning should be fun.
Learning should be fun. Edutainment.
Edutainment.
Yeah. I got that from Ty Lopez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Reality Sandwich.
Reality Sandwich is a amazing information website, all free currently, bitches. Oh, you better get it while it's hot.
Get it while it's hot. Get it while it's hot off the press.
All free. Oh, 10,000 plus pieces of information about psychedelic culture. And it's super fun to get in there and dig around. So get in there and dig around. It's like a library of consciousness. Yeah. It's super amazing. And then we have thedelic.com, which is coming out in 2 weeks. It's a find your experience, upgrade your journey.
So is it sort of to help people with their journeys?
Yeah.
That's
it's
awesome.
Tools and guides to help people on their journey work.
I'm gonna have to stay up on that. I'm gonna be on the website every day at 8 a.m. like, okay, let me check in with my journey notes here. And what about you personally? How can they find you?
I guess you can find me on Instagram.
I am Jackie Stang.
I am Jackie Stang.
Yep. That's her handle.
Two E's, man.
Two E's.
Yeah, that's I like to go, you know, to have fun there.
And the podcast.
Oh, my favorite, my love.
Yes.
I love podcasting. How I mentioned.
Full circle. You have a podcast.
Yeah. The Delic Radio. You can find that on anywhere podcasts are played, except for SoundCloud, but Apple and iTunes for sure. Delic Radio, Psychedelic Conversations.
Boom. In your ear. She will be back. She's one of my favorite people.
You're one of my favorite people.
I think our dogs are dating now, so we're stuck for life.
In-laws.
I'll see you after the trip.
Love you, girl.
I love you.